Blog Talk Radio.
Boom, bap, we're back. It's another edition, RIC and Joe, NFL Draft Show, 2019 Combine Preview. It's the defense today. It's February 26, 2019. One day until the 2019 NFL Scouting Combine. If you don't know, if you can't tell, I'm all pumped up, baby, because we're going to talk about it. We're going to be about it. We're going to break it down. Then we're going to hop on a plane. We're going to fly about it. And then we'll be there all week long, baby. You can follow us at NFL Draft Bible on the Twitterverse, on the Facebook. We're going to have behind the scenes live stream coverage. We're going to be everywhere. I mean, we're going to be at the NFL Combine. We're going to be at the Beyond Sports Network Combine for the Combine Suns. We're going to be at the Sports Management Worldwide events, speaking on the panel there with Russell Landy and our friend Steve Fairchild. We're going to be at the Shore Sports Lending event. We're going to be at our good buddy Neil Stratton's event at Inside the League. We're going to be at the Test Football Academy Suite. We're going to be all over the city, in the nitty gritty. And you know whose city that is? First of all, it's the RIC and the place to be. Rick Saratella here, telling it like it is. When it comes to the NFL draft since 2002, it's what we do. And we are traveling to my main man, my co-host, Joey Everett, never leaving a stone unturned. My man is cranking through. I mean, we're crossing the T's and dotting the I's here on the 2019 NFL Draft Bible, which, by the way, is now available up on the NFLDraftScout.com. If you go there now, you can pre-order. You have until March 1st. Save 20%. It'll be the best $8 you ever spent if you want to get educated on the 2019 NFL Draft Show. Now, we previewed the offense a couple days ago. We're going to preview the defense today. We welcome in my co-host, Joe, who I'll be connecting with in just a few hours. Joe, welcome to the show. Did you get any sleep, my man?
Oh, you know, it's hard to sleep. The world, the football world is converging on Indy in less than a day. So it's, I'm in a frenzy over here downtown. And, yeah, just I'm chomping at the bit, getting ready to talk to those coaches, the GMs tomorrow. It's hard to believe it's all starting tomorrow.
It's going to get crazy. It's going to be on. So make sure you follow us, check us out. And if you're listening here on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio, or wherever the heck you're listening to us these days, just please subscribe it, like it, share it. We appreciate it. The Rodney Dangerfield, the podcast over here, but we're going to dive into it. And Joe, you know, without giving your answer away, because we talked about a prediction for the fastest 40 on last episode, and I'm not sure we ever gave the people an official on the record selection, and we'll save that for the end of the show this time, I promise. But just for the record, don't spill the beans if you think a defensive player is going to run faster. Save that for the end of the show. But in terms of just offensive player, I know we ran through each position and gave our candidates who would be the fastest at each position. But just in terms of offensive players, who's going to be the one running that fastest 40, do you think?
Oh, man, I got to get that trifecta box. No. It's tough for me. I got to pick between Paris Campbell and Mecole Hardman in my mind. And right now, I'll just go with the chalk and take Paris Campbell. I think this is where he's really going to cash in his chips, because really as a player, he's kind of like, I don't know, a lesser version of Percy Harvin right now. You don't know exactly what you're getting. He's not the complete package, but you just know athletically he is a marvel. So I think he's going to really be as advertised. And, you know, we talk about players that change the narrative in Indy. Well, he's definitely one of them. So he edges out Mecole Hardman by a nose.
Well, that wide receiver crew is going to be something to watch, because I'm going to go with Andy Isabella. So that makes it three. There's your trifecta box right there. And there'll be three receivers that we'll be keeping an eye on. And Darrell Henderson over there at running back, I guess you can throw his name into the mix as well. Now, we'll give you the prediction at the end of the show who we think will run the fastest 40. There's some strong candidates here, Joe, on the defensive side of the ball. Before we break down the positions, who are some guys here that you're kind of intrigued by, or in your opinion, need a big week
to kind of either, you know, prove some doubters wrong, take advantage of the situation, or just kind of need to generate a little bit of a buzz for themselves here in Indianapolis?
Well, I think without going by position, one that I think has to, I don't know that he's going to, but O'Shane Zimenez, a guy I really love, you know, just pop in that Virginia Tech game. You're going to like his game and his style of play, but just not such a strong Senior Bowl. And it's a guy I think really needs to kind of, not so much as rebound, but be that player we saw in the footage. I'd like to see him running the 4.7s. I don't know that he's going to, but if he does something like that, then we make a bit of a 90-degree turn there on what's going on with him. And then I think just sticking to edge rushers, you know, we could do a whole show about edge rushers, but I think Sweat, Mississippi State, similar case. He looked better, I think, during the week in some instances, but still that's a guy, he needs to check off some boxes here. And he is vying to be one of the top pass rushers. Well, now it's time, I think, to step up. That's definitely – and then, I don't know, I hear so much hype about the Devin Bush kid. Michigan, and I like watching him play. He's definitely, you can see it's a football player. He's got a nose for it, but athletically where he's at, I'm kind of worried that he's going to run slow. I hope he doesn't. Prove me wrong, Devin,
okay,
if you're out there listening.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of, he's a guy that strikes me, you know, there's a lot of hype surrounding him. He needs to go out there and back it up, because I'm a little worried about straight line speed where he's at exactly.
Right.
I mean, you know, we're going to find out soon enough, but he's definitely got he needs to back that hype up.
And, you know, he's most likely going to come in under 6 feet tall too. So Devin Bush, definitely a guy we're going to keep an eye on, and, you know, a fiery guy, a passionate guy, an emotional guy. We saw that this past season. You mentioned one small school player that didn't stand out, the Old Dominion kid at the Senior Bowl. I felt the same way about John Kaminsky over at Charleston, West Virginia. You know, just kind of there, you know, kind of blended in with the wall. I would say wallpaper, but there was no wallpaper outside. But, you know, he was just kind of there blending in with the grass. But this is a guy, I think the combine is where he can kind of generate a little bit of a buzz, because, you know, he's the one that told us he ran 4.62 with the wind, 4.64 against the wind, which put him on the NFL radar on that spring pro day, junior day. And then, you know, listen, keeping it on the edge, Rashawn Gary, I think, is going to have a historic combine, Joe. I think it's going to be one for the ages. I think I've been saying this for like 2 years, and it's finally coming now, so we're going to get to see if my prediction holds true. But I've tried to say it like every other show for the last 2 years, just so people can remember. You heard it here first, folks. Rashawn Gary is going to run faster. He's going to run faster than half the running backs in Indianapolis. How about that for a prediction? Okay. But I thought somebody made a good point, you know, with Rashawn Gary launching his own agency. You know, 5-10 years ago, Joe, this would have been like a big deal, kind of blown up and, you know, oh, is he focused on football type of thing? It's surprisingly kind of just flown straight under the radar. Any surprise? Are you surprised by that at all?
No, I think a lot of people just looking at it open-minded, and, you know, just what it takes to start your own business venture anymore. I mean, basically, you just got to have some of their funding and four fools to sign on. What is he really doing with it exactly, and how many clients he's got outside of himself? You know, that's the big question. I think it's more people are looking at it as entertaining more than anything. But, yeah, as the player, I think you're right. You haven't been saying it for no reason. It's just that he's pretty much an athletic marvel. It's just finding out what position he is, where you're going to slot him. And that's the biggest mystery to me, is, like, what teams are going to be talking to him about where exactly they want to play him. That's the question he's got to answer outside of the career production.
Well, I would love to see him get with the team like the Houston Texans. He utilized J.J. Watt I think he could be like that kind of hybrid edge rusher, or, you know, even get with a guy like Wade Phillips. I mean, that knows how to utilize someone's strengths like that. you know, and hey, listen, I wouldn't be too upset. James Betcher, I don't know if that's the best fit defensively, but I think the Giants could use a guy at number six, like a Rashawn Gary, just, you know, reignite that defense, create, you know, I don't know how Olivia Vernon made the Pro Bowl, no idea, but they need some help getting after the quarterback for sure. The one guy I will say, I was surprised, you know, this Jamel Garcia-Williams, I got a chance to see him at the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl out of UAB, and just a long and athletic defensive end. His college production, I want to say he had about 20 sacks this past year. He's probably 6'7", 250 lean frame. He will now have to depend on that UAB Pro Day. So I was a little disappointed to see him not get the invite to Indianapolis. But, you know, I don't know if you want to throw linebackers into the mix here, Jill. I just kind of been focusing on defensive ends. But any other thoughts on either of the two?
Well, just wrap up some DLs. Another snub out there, Ed Alexander, LSU. I thought should be there along with Jamel Garcia-Williams. Garcia-Williams got NFL bloodlines, too. I know his brother played for the Broncos. He's a linebacker, and then his dad played it to some extent. But, yeah, outside of the other snubs that, you know, for other reasons, they took him off the radar. But before there's one, Kalen Saunders, yeah. Cannot talk about defensive linemen without bringing up Eastern Illinois' finest. I think he's going to do it again. He showed up in Mobile. You know, we knew about the back flips, the athleticism. Well, the practices were good. He flashed in the game. I think just kind of every phase of the draft process, to me, he strikes me as a guy that's going to keep ringing that bell and will not be ignored. So very excited to see what Colin Sanders. How dare I say Kalen?
Right.
And then Charles Omeniki.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sorry if you're listening, Colin. But and then Charles Omeniki. I think he's going to win the weigh-in, and we get the measurements. We're going to find out this guy's got like size 11 hands and 88 wingspan. It's just like he's. I ran into him post game. And it was a pillar, and that's an actual dude, and that's Charles Omenihu. I mean, he is just a real-life giant. I'm just eager to see what his movement skills are. And then, linebackers, I don't know where we're going with this. Like, Devin White, I wouldn't be shocked if he ran in the 4.5s. Like, that's what kind of crazy athlete he is. He really brings linebacker speed to the table. And then, Hanks is the guy. It's another one. He really won me over at the Senior Bowl. He shows up the weigh-in, rocked up like G.I. Joe. And then I think he's also going to test really well. If he doesn't run in the 4.6s, I'd be shocked. I'll just say low 4.7s. I'd be happy with that. And then that Pratt kid, North Carolina State, he should blaze because he's a former safety. And, I mentioned about Devin Bush. Like I said, I'm just a little worried about him, but he's one I'm willing to trust the tape kind of guy, like T.J. Edwards, Wisconsin. If he doesn't test well, I don't care. Like, I'm pretty confident he could play. Tavon Coney, I'm not as confident, but, like, if all three of those guys don't run some hot time, I'm not too worried about it because I know what kind of football player they're going to be.
No doubt about it. We're talking to Joe Everett, Rick Saratella here, the Rick and Joe NFL Draft Show 2019 Combine Preview Defense Edition. And Joe just dropped some gems on you. I just want to recap a couple things, go back in time, rewind, and be kind. Colin, get it right. Colin Sanders. I thought he was the most charismatic guy at the Senior Bowl, and on defense anyway. On offense, I would say Dalton Risner. Those were the two biggest personalities that I ran into. And it's funny you mentioned Charles Omenihu, because Risner mentioned Omenihu as the toughest guy, you know, that he faced throughout his career. And the love was mutual with Omenihu praising Risner as well. Now, just going back with the defensive linemen, wrap things up there. We didn't mention Ed Oliver and Christian Wilkins, too. We talked about Rashawn Gary. Those two guys could be in line for a phenomenal – I mean, we talk about the wide receivers on the offensive side. I think when the defensive linemen run, I mean, you know, I don't know. I guess they're going to do it alphabetically. So Gary might go first, but then Oliver and Wilkins, man, those guys are going to be burners for their size as well. And, you know, all three of those guys, Joe, I mean, you know, along with my snub, Michael Dogby from Temple, another inside-outside guy, but Oliver, Wilkins, and Gary, I mean, you could state a case either one of those guys could play tackle, they could play end. I don't know. Do you have a preference where these guys play, just out of curiosity?
Well, Ed Oliver has a preference where he plays. If you check out his DB drills on his social media, I mean, he's just running the W drills, catching balls, running tight end drills. Yeah, I'm expecting Oliver to break some records, at least if they're registered at DL, because apparently I just don't know. Like, some people talking about Mike Linebacker at 265 or whatever he's going to weigh in and at. He'll probably tell you he's a 255 rover. But if I'm Major Applewhite, don't make him take that coat off. Maybe you don't get fired after two seasons, I swear. That's still, like, it's such the dumbest thing in the world. But I'm looking at Oliver just definitely backing up all this hype. We've seen so many videos of him, just rare movement skills, and he's gonna be the one, I think, as advertised, get your popcorn ready. Like, Oliver's going to deliver, and Wilkins, he definitely won't be a slouch. Both those cats, though, strike, like Oliver and Wilkins, hard to put them at a – or just more difficult to forecast right where they fit. Where
no,
like,
true,
oh,
position.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. You don't really – they're not square peg, square hole. It's like they're very much like a S-shape, round hole. How do we do this?
You know, I scratched my head a little bit with Oliver, Joe, because, you know, he was kind of – like, him and Bosa were like the consensus 1 and 2 for most of the season coming into the season. I felt throughout the duration of most of the season. And then I feel like, I know it's not the exact reason why, but I feel like after that whole jacket incident, his stock seemed to kind of like take a tumble. Now, you know, I see like well-respected draft analysts such as, like, I think Daniel Jeremiah, like, has him at number 9. I've seen guys like, you know, Ed Oliver's not even in the top 10. I mean, what happened?
I think people get a little bit more flavor of exactly what he is. It's like the hype was being billed as Aaron Donald, and he's not. He doesn't have that same kind of violence in his hands. The base strength is definitely different. But the movement skills, I think, are even more tweaked out. Like, he is so much more twitchy than Donald. It's just like the execution right now. I don't think he's nearly what the football player and technician that a guy like that was. And being praised so loftily, I think, after that sophomore season, it really, I think the horse got out of the barn a little too soon on that. It was flat out truth. But he can still play. We're talking about a top 15, top 10 guy, and there ain't nothing wrong with that, which, you know, at the end of the day, what was Donald, 11, in the teens maybe? Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with Oliver as a prospect. It's just finding the right team and the system. I don't know if it's as a 5-tech. I don't know if it's as an edge. I think that linebacker talk is just people having fun. I'm having fun with it, to be honest, but I think that's just going to be the ultimate test, is just what a team forecasts them as. But the bottom line is, I think we're looking at a special athlete, and Oliver, like you said, Wilkins, all these guys, like even Saunders brought up, like this event's like kind of tailor-made for him, and it's I really hope he kind of backs it up, because I'm getting tired of watching these videos telling people, just kind of like you've been talking about Gary, it's like, let's see the show finally, because it's been 2 years in the making.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Back over to the linebackers now, just to recap, put a little ribbon on there. You mentioned Devin White, and, you know, there's some history there now. No doubt in my mind he's going to test extremely well, but we saw what a disaster the Reuben Foster trade was, and you know, the 49ers did that kind of like reality behind the scenes type of video segment with Lynch and Shanahan, and they were jumping for joy in the draft room, telling Peter King they just got the biggest steal of the draft. Well, you wind up burning you know, trading into the first round and burning a pick on a Reuben Foster with that fresh in NFL teams' minds. Any concern here with Devin White, who, you know, this guy has multiple arrests now. Granted, they were as a minor before he turned 18, before he turned 18. But, you know, there's one charge of having sex with an underage woman. There's another charge of fleeing the police and some kind of pursuit. I mean, behind closed doors, I mean, this kid is going to get drilled. If you're an NFL GM selecting in the first round, how much of a concern is this stuff to you?
Oh, it's got to be. I mean, that's what we find out behind closed doors. To be a fly on the wall in some of these interviews. I'd love to hear his answers. Athletically, what's on the field, I don't think you have a doubt. And really, comparing the two players, I think Devin White greater than Foster, especially in coverage. I think he's going to test a little bit better. Of course, we didn't really get to see Reuben at the combine. but I doubt Devin White has any kind of – I don't think he's going to have a run-in like that. And but you're dead on right here. Like, it's not a clean prospect by any means. But what any of these guys is like crystal right now. I think with linebacker, it's so rare to have a guy like this athletically. You're willing to roll the dice. And even coming in, I think before the run-in with the medical, people knew about Foster, and it's like, man, do we roll the dice? I still haven't ruled Foster out, though. Like, hasn't the girl rescinded her claim? And, like, there's still a chance.
Yeah, I mean, she's changing her stories more than a female on the Ricky Lake show at this point. You know, I think he got picked up by somebody, the Redskins, right? Picked up Reuben Foster. Anyway,
that's right. Cool.
Yeah, so,
we didn't
I
remember that now.
Yeah, so, yeah, we didn't talk to the phone. No, why would we do that? But you know, can't make this stuff up. Well, you know, the other guy I want to talk to you about is Josh Allen. Before we do, you know, a couple sleepers out there I want to throw out. You know, Voshon Joseph, too, from Florida, I think will test very well at linebacker. A couple snubs on my end. You know, everybody talks about Adderley from Delaware. There's a linebacker there, Troy Reeder, that we've been pumping up. He was Big Ten freshman All-American with Penn State. And then, you know, transferred to Delaware to play with his brother, believe it or not. And, you know, has had a stellar career for the Blue Hens. I don't know if he gets drafted, but I would have loved to see him in Indianapolis because I think he's just as good, if not better, than a lot of these guys. And then B.J. Blunt is a guy I had a chance to see him on the All-Star circuit. I don't know which game. Maybe it was the NFLPA. He weighed in 203, was very disappointed. Had a chance to see him again down at XPE with Tony Villani a couple weeks ago in Fort Lauderdale, and he bulked up to about 223. So he gained 20 pounds. I thought, you know, he could have had a golden opportunity to perform well at the combine. Now he'll have to rely upon that McNeese State pro day. And listen, McNeese has a couple players, but, you know, listen, if they get a dozen scouts at that event, that's a good turnout for them. So, disappointing for B.J. Blunt on the small school side, along with Troy Reeder from Delaware. But, Joe, we were here about one calendar year ago talking about Josh Allen, how we didn't see him being in that first-round mix. And, boy, what a difference a year makes, because now it looks like he's a top-five consensus pick for a lot of folks.
I guess. I mean, and, you know, when my mock draft's turned in, he'll probably be right there. But I still see some holes in his game. I don't know that he's the complete twitchy pass rusher that's worthy of that pick. I mean, top five stand-up pass rusher, you better be Von Miller. Like, you need to be a Lawrence Taylor reincarnate. I don't see any of that. The reminiscence of those players in Josh Allen's game. I mean, now granted, those are once in a generation, but still, I'm not, you know, trying to get into the top five to get him by any means. And if I'm one of those teams, I'm still listening to offers from quarterback needy squads or teams that want to package up just to move. I'm not betting the farm on him by any means.
All right, you're tuned in to the Rick and Joe NFL Draft Show exclusively on the NFLDraftScout.com. Oh, by the way, that 2019 NFL Draft Bible, whew, it's close. It's going to be released on or around March 15th. Joe and myself and a bunch of the crack committee here at the NFL Draft Bible are churning that bad boy out. Take advantage of our pre-order sale. Save 20% right now. Go to NFLDraftScout.com. In the menu bar, you can subscribe there. You got about 2 days. By the time this podcast airs, you got about two days to take advantage of that. February is that short month. You should know that, Aquarius Nation. All right. So Joe and myself have broken it down. It's getting crazy here with the lack of sleep, but we love it. It's all good. And shout out to Chris Shanafelt, Justin Gamble, Super Sam, I am. Samantha will be out at the Combine, Adrian. I mean, the whole band is getting together, the whole NFL Draft Bible familiar. We're taking over. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line. RIC at NFLDraftBible.com. We'll be on location across the city of Indianapolis. And we're going to transition now into the secondary, Joe, the defensive backs. We'll take them, we'll lump them cornerbacks, and then we'll do safety separate. But these are where the candidates come in now all of a sudden to stake the claim to the fastest man in Indy 2019 edition. You're going Paris Campbell. I'm going Andy Isabella. We've got Mecole Hardman and Darrell Henderson in the mix. Now it's time to talk about some speedsters. Let's start off with the corners because, you know, this Greedy Williams, I think he's going to come in around 6'1.5", and he's been timed reportedly in that 4.2 range in the past. So I think if he does that, if he runs a 4.3 even, I think Greedy Williams is a top 10 lock, in my opinion, Joe. But a lot of people believe Byron Murphy, this kid out of Washington, the redshirt sophomore, not only will he also test well, but a lot of people believe he's the best cornerback in this draft. Your thoughts?
You know, if it ain't 1A and 1B, I've got him 1-2. I've got Greedy 1, just for the height, the size, the school, the teaching. They're just a DB factory. And I'd credit that. Sorry, Florida. Sorry, Miami of old, but like it's LSU's game, and they're one of the best in the game. These guys, they're all like a prototype. So yeah, I'm going with him, but I actually think Murphy will probably test better because really, if Greedy runs, I've got him as like a high 4.4s from what I've seen. Like that's just, you know, my estimate, and I'm sure the reports are lower than that. They're all glowing report, but like if he's 4.4 anything, I still think that's phenomenal for a guy his size, whereas Murphy, more compact, a lot more shifty, just got a little bit more tweak to his movement. I think, yeah, he's 4.4 is easy, might even get below into the 4.3s. And then the other one I think is going to be fast is my Notre Dame kid, Julian Love. Don't judge him by that game against we just got massacred in the playoffs for college football. I think he was playing a little dinged up, but that guy's one of the best defensive players on the Irish team. All-American for a reason. He'll show up. I think he's – oh, man. I think he's also just the combo. I hope he's in the 4.4s because if he is, he may ascend to day one. But really, there's a lot of freaks, too. It's been a couple of years since I can remember just all these guys being 6'1", the Vandy kid 6'2", the Michigan State kid 6'2", Justin Lane. It's just long corners for days. That's I guess the sign the league keeps on changing.
You used to be able to count on one hand how many 6-foot corners there were in a draft. Now it's like surprising if they're listed below 6 feet. I think we've gotten to that point.
Yeah, they're all making that classic cutoff of the old Packers Seahawks regime of like, no, they got to be 5'11 or taller. And I'm looking right down my list. Now I'm counting on one hand who's 5'10 or shorter.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Anybody else from the cornerback position that you'll be keeping an eye on here before we transition to safeties? And any snubs that you were disappointed did not get the invite to Indy?
Juwan Williams, the Vandy kid, I'm dying to know what he runs. Sheffield, Ohio State, I think he's gonna be a blazer. Jamal Peters, Mississippi State, that's another just giant corner. I'm hearing if he runs, he could be in the 4.4s. And then one of my faves, Blaise Brown, just like he's my something to prove guy. I mean, the plays there, I think he's got good footage. It's just, it'd be nice if he actually timed out. And then snubs, as far as DBs, I mean, Delvin Randall's one of mine. I think Khalil Hodge was a snub for the linebackers. I didn't get those. Another snub for linebackers, Josiah Tuafa, the UTSA. I love his game. Khalil Hodge, but yes, I kind of like the corner group. If I had to throw one, it'd be Moreland, who I liked from the Senior Bowl. I thought he was worthy of an invite, so he said he's probably going to come back with a vengeance on his pro day. But yeah, of all the DBs, I really like that Temple kid, Delvin Randall. It's not that he's some super athlete. It's just I thought he deserved a chance.
No, I agree. He's on my list here as well for being snubbed. And I think the Rutgers safety, Saquon Hampton, did get the invite, which I think is deserving. But I think Randall might be the actual better prospect. And you mentioned Moreland. I'm so pissed off about this one, man. I got to travel to James Madison now just to go check out Jimmy Moreland over at the Pro Day. But, you know, we had fun with his family in the East-West Shrine game. I mean, his entourage was huge down in Fort Lauderdale. I had fun with his family a little bit. But you know what's funny, Joe, is, you know, at the East-West Shrine game, I asked all these receivers, you know, who's the toughest wide corner you went up against all week? Everybody said Jimmy Moreland, Jimmy Moreland, Jimmy Moreland. And then we get to Mobile, and I'm asking these receivers, I'm like, you know, who's one of the corners out here giving you problems? And, you know, 4 out of 5 guys are saying Jimmy Moreland. And then, you know, we get to the combine invitation selection process. Jeff Foster, if you're listening, I mean, what the heck is going on? What the heck is going on here? I mean, why isn't this man an Indy? I don't get it.
No, he should be.
I mean, what the hell? What does a guy have? I mean, he's got about 3 or 4 pick-six interceptions. He damn near had double-digit interceptions on the year. I mean, what more does a man have to do?
And they're damn good defense, man. I mean, they didn't win that FCS for no reason.
Well, listen, the other guy out there, Nate Brooks from North Texas. You know, North Texas, they got a pair of corners on the NFL radar. Nate Brooks had a little bit of a buzz on him out at the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl. I think he had 7 or 8 interceptions, just a playmaker, athletic corner. Safety-wise, yeah, I see Chauncey Gardner-Johnson re-solidifying his draft stock. And I say re-solidifying because, you know, we put out a prospectus about 2 years ago, and I think we had Chauncey Gardner as a first-round grade, and then his stock slipped. I don't know, in the media it did anyway. I don't know if it did on the NFL boards, but I think he's going to kind of, you know, if he's not top 32, I think he's in that top 35, top 40 range, that Chauncey Gardner. And then one last guy, and I'll throw it over to you, final thoughts on the safety, Darnell Savage Jr. I mean, listen, this guy, what an incredible athlete. I don't know if you like him at nickel or safety. I'll just take him on my team because, one, he's an incredible hard worker. Two, he's an incredible, humble person. Three, he's a great, great guy, just a teammate, team-first mentality. And, you know, listen, I'm just going to tell you, he was training here in New Jersey at the Test Football Academy. I know they don't want me to put his times out there. You'll have to wait till Monday because he's the last position group that runs. But every time this man run, I've timed him 4 times handheld. And we also verified it on the laser. Every time this guy ran a 4-yard dash, I did a double take at my stopwatch. So he's actually my candidate, Joe, to run the fastest 40 on the defensive side. And we'll submit our final selections in just a second. But any final thoughts here on the safeties?
Oh, yeah, you got one of my guys, Chauncey Gardner, Gardner Johnson, you know, whatever you want to call yourself. I agree. He re-solidifies his stock because he is an athlete in straight line speed. I'm expecting a solid 40 time. Then Jonathan Abram, as much as chirping he's doing, he's got a little bit to prove, and so does Deontay Thompson from Alabama. I think those two high-rated safeties, you know, we're expecting a lot from them. So, kind of pressure's on there. I think people are going to be surprised with Demonte Hooker from Iowa, and then the other safety would be Blair from Utah. Those two, they're probably going to shock some guys with the times they put up. And just one personally I'm rooting for. I know I'm just, the drinking game on this podcast is how many times did Joe mention the Senior Bowl? Well, I'm fine with it, man. Nasir Adderley from Delaware all week, man. Just great week, great attitude, and then totally backed it up in the game. They select him as a team captain for a reason. This guy is just he's got all those sort of intangibles. You know he can play ball. Let's just hope he backs it up athletically, because I think we talk about checking off all the boxes. Adderley is so close here. I really just hope the times are respectable more so than anything, but I got a hunch they're going to be a lot better than respectable.
Yeah, the FCS standout and Imani Hooker on the radar of Robert Kraft, from what I've been told. But I'm bumped. I can't resist it, man. But in all seriousness, Hooker has a laundry list of injuries, that's for sure. But, you know, that's going to be a wrap for the positional preview, Rick. You're just not right, man. all right. The Rick and Joe NFL Draft Show. We covered all here on our 2019 Combine preview. This was the defensive preview. We also did an offensive show on our last podcast, so check it out on NFLDraftScout.com. And it's time for prediction time. Everybody wants to know. I know you do a bunch of radio shows, as do I, Joe. Everybody wants to know who is going to blaze out 40. Everybody was up in arms over that John Ross 4.22. So it's a two-part question. One, who will be the fastest man in Indy this year? And two, does anybody have a legitimate chance to break that John Ross record and get their own island?
I don't think anybody touching Johnny Ross. We're going to have somebody that there's a prop bet out there. Anybody going to break 4.29, I believe. And I think that's a possibility. I think Paris Campbell's 4.2 something. I just don't know that he's 4.22 or, you know, so just, you know, 4.19. Good Lord. Like, but the God's honest truth, anybody sub 4.3 is inhuman. Like, that is just scorching fast. So I think, you know, that's something, the general takeaway. I know I said trust the tape on the last show, but for the defensive players, I tell you, three cone, trust the vertical, those two, they'll tell you just a whole lot about a defensive player and their ability, I think. But as far as the fastest, I don't think anyone's touching that. John Ross, that's just insane. But if I had to pick somebody, I'm sticking Paris Campbell. It's not a defensive player. I think I'll predict finally 4.26 from Mr.
Ooh.
Campbell.
Ooh. Well, you know what? It's hard for me to disagree, but, you know, I got to at least be different. And I'm not going to put a number on it. I'm just going to say he's the fastest. And, you know, I'm going to ride with what my eyes have been seeing and believing, and that's going to be Darnell Savage Jr. from Maryland. And, you know, I think after his combine performance, a lot of teams are going to seriously start considering him as a corner rather than a safety. So you go Campbell, I go Savage. We'll come back here next week and break it all down and discuss it. And you mentioned the prop bets, Joe. I haven't gotten a chance to dive in yet to those. Have you had a chance to look at those yet at all, just out of curiosity?
Oh, just a few. I mean, they got some crazy ones on Bet Online to where it was just all will Haskins run a 4.71 over or under, but the over's like a minus 500. There's some pretty ridiculous ones. There's one I like. There's a I pulled it up here, the offensive player, who's the fastest 40-yard dash time. So if you believe in Rick and believe it's Savage or a defensive player, you could get plus 120 on that. The minus
okay.
160 for offensive players. So obviously the books are favoring these receivers, but if you like the plus payout and you don't even like to have to be honest, my fastest player on defense would be Sheffield from Ohio State. So there's a few candidates on the defensive side that could get this.
Yeah, I think there's more candidates on the offensive side, but I think the best candidates on the defensive side. So, hey, not too shabby there. Anything else, Joe, before we let you go?
Oh, if you believe that, Kyler Murray's up here, Rich Eisen has the 6.02 over or under. The over is plus 150. I'm not like the one. Here's one I really like. Trace McSorley's 40-yard dash is at 4.65, and the over is plus 190. The under is minus 290. So the books feel really good about Trace. Being that fast, but I, honest to goodness, 4.65 is cooking for anybody. Like,
right,
Josh
Allen. Vegas might know something we don't. I didn't realize.
Athlete. I don't know, because like Josh Allen ran a 4.7 something last year, didn't he?
Yeah, 4.71, I think.
And that was pretty freakish. But granted, that's his size. I just think, 4.65. I know Trace is quick, but I don't know straight line that he's that fast. Once again, I mean you're right. The books must have some information there.
That's like saying he's faster than Troy Smith. I think Troy Smith had like 4.65 or something like that. So, interesting. And this show was interesting. Hopefully it was loaded with draft nuggets. That's what we like to provide here. Nuggets all around for our fellow listeners. So hopefully you enjoyed that. And again, we're going to be on location all week long, Indianapolis Convention Center. Check us out Thursday in room 125. Check us out Friday through Monday in room 101 at the Test Football Academy Suite. Check us out Friday at the Sports Management Worldwide panel. Check us out tomorrow. We'll be making an appearance at the Beyond Sports Network Combine. I mean, what aren't we doing? If you want to know what we're up to, hopefully you're friends with me on Facebook. They only allow you to have so many friends on Facebook. Not that I need any more, but hopefully you're friends with me on Facebook and you can follow along on there. If not, you can follow us on Twitter at NFL Draft Bible. You can follow Joe at Joe W. Everett. He never leaves a stone unturned. We're just getting goofy with it now. We appreciate you tuning in. And as somebody I know once said, till the next time, everybody.